Pastor Jarrell is my brother as much as anybody's ever been my brother apart from blood. And I'm blessed that he and Shanna are here today. I'm blessed for their marriage and their life and what God has constantly done in Pastor Jarrell. And he always has exhibited to me what's inside is what counts. And so I know you'll hear what God's heart is today.
Thank you, brother. Hello, family. It's awesome to see you. Some of you, this is new, but I'm family, whether you know me or not. I'm excited about this time together and what God wants to do with us. I want to invite my wife to come up, and so my wife, Shanna. We lead Shiloh, and God has done an awesome work. We also have some of our elders here, Kendra and Aaron. Where are they? They're in the back. There they are. Let's welcome them as well, part of this family. It's really a team ministry of what God is doing there, and so it's exciting. So do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yes, of course. Yes, I have the mic. Good morning, everyone. It's really great to see you all today. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
There we go. Okay, I see you. What you said this morning, Pastor Ken, just really resonated with me. I've been reading some, you know, I go on Facebook just to see how my friends are doing, right? And a lot of my friends recently have been talking about, like, little things that they've run into during their daily lives that have just been opportunities for them to do something to help thwart an otherwise dangerous situation, or, you know, just it might be danger physically, or it just might be emotional danger to someone else. But just for example, the other day, one of my friends, he works with a bunch of teens. And as he was getting ready to end the day and then head on home, he was walking towards his car, and he saw a group of them were about to get into a fight. And he went to them, and he tried to, you know, he de-escalated the situation, but, you know, he's a very loquacious person. And he walked us through the entire situation, step by step by step. And I'm reading this thinking, oh my goodness, how is this going to turn out? And lo and behold, it was eventually diffused. And I started to think about that. I've been thinking about this over the course of the past few months, you know, just these everyday opportunities that God gives us to show his goodness and to be ministers. Not every minister wears a white collar. Not every minister has the title of pastor. And I've been using this hashtag sacred work, because everything we do can be an opportunity to just show God's goodness. So when you were talking, I just thought about that, and I wanted to share that. So, you know, if you run across opportunities when you're on social media, or if you have a story, you know, helping someone across the street, I mean, any little thing, I would love for that to go viral. Hashtag sacred work. Hashtag sacred life. Because that's what we're called to. We're called to a life of just being regular, real people, living life with each other, sharing community with other, but showing Christ, showing God. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. So while I'm up here, I'm going to pray for this fella. He definitely prays enough for me. It's an opportunity to give a little back. So Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for my husband, Father. I thank you for this opportunity to be home with family, ministering and sharing and growing together. Lord, I just pray that you would speak through him. Speak to the hearts, speak to our minds, transform our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, honey. All right. Well, this is an awesome opportunity. As Pastor Ken was saying, God has connected us. It's a lifetime connection. And we're together, and I know we're going to be together more. And we're excited about that, to see how that grows and what that turns into. But I know that it's soon. We feel like it's getting closer. There's been times that I will tune in on the live stream, And it's amazing how God has been weaving together our messages. We get together from time to time, but not enough to coordinate messages. And it's just interesting. I'll be listening, and he'll make a point that I made, or it's pushing along the same line. And I believe that's because God is preparing us to hear one voice from him. Amen? And so a little while ago, God was dealing with us and around a theme. And I wanted to share some of that. I altered it some for here. I'm going to hit it real quickly because I want to get to the end where we can pray together. But just want to give us some context to it. But what I will say is there's these three phases, three parts of what God is going to do, three ways that he moves. There's a sound, a place, and a people. Now, before I officially jump in, I need to help you help me. So I'm used to people talking back to me. I know it's usually kind of quiet, you know, Pastor Ken, he teaches us. And I love that. I love that. And so, but it's okay. If you can say amen, you can clap, you can stand up, you can do whatever. And so I'm gonna help you. You're with me, right? Hallelujah. All right. That lets me know you're in the house. So say that with me: a sound, a place, and a people. So, Father, even as it's already been prayed, Lord, we ask that in these few moments that you would open our hearts and our mind to your message. Father, I want to be changed in your presence. I want to be different. Help this be a time and an appointment for destiny for each of us, that we would be transformed in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in Ezekiel 37, we're just going to hit this real quickly. Many of you are familiar with this, but let's read this together. Ezekiel 37, it's the popular passage of the Valley of the Dry Bones. You got it there? All right. That's just a summary of what we're going to be hitting today. It's the sound, the place, and the people. So the sound is, we see it in Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord is upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. The first thing I want to look at when we talk about the sound is that Ezekiel started off by acknowledging his reality. It's important for us to recognize the times that we are in and to recognize our reality. Sometimes there's this pull to want to be positive or to want to have a different reality by ignoring the current reality. But God speaks to us in the context of truth, right? And so if there's something going on, we need to be able to express it. We need to be able to understand it. When Nehemiah was called to build the walls, he first inspected the walls and saw the conditions of the wall. For many of us, we find ourselves right now living in circumstances that are difficult, that are hard, that are challenging. And it's okay to acknowledge that. It's okay to be able to say, God, my life is difficult right now. It's hard right now. And these are the reasons why. There might be a medical issue that's going on. It might be a challenge at work or family dynamics that are challenging, but that's part of our reality, and it's okay to acknowledge them. In fact, it's important to acknowledge them. But once we acknowledge them, then we say, okay, God, what's your perspective on my reality? See, that's where the turn happens. We can get stuck in looking at our reality, but what we need to do is get to that point where we go to God and say, okay, God, here's what's going on. Now, what do you see? What is it that you see? I believe today that part of what God wants to do is to begin to make us aware that there's a superior reality to what we see. There's something more going on than what's immediately seen in the eye. You're a part of a grand story that is unfolding, and you're right in the middle of it. And you may not see it or recognize it, but if you turn your eyes to God, He is going to show you what your part is. Your destiny is dependent upon your willingness to trust and obey God. When you're in the middle of your circumstance, God is going to show you and reveal His perspective. Then you have a choice. Are you going to remain in the place where you were before, imprisoned to the circumstances, imprisoned to your experiences, to what you've done before, or are you going to trust God that He's going to do something different? I believe God is stirring us today to dare to believe that He's going to do something different in our life, that He's going to use each one of us to accomplish His kingdom in the world. As Pastor Ken was sharing, and then Pastor Shanna, it's part of the message today. It's how we're going to end the message today. But God was kind of getting us ready, because the end of the story is each of us has a part to play, and God is going to take us to it. In verse 7, it says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise." Somebody say, "There was a noise." There was a noise. "And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone." I like focusing on there's a sound or there's a noise, because often when God's move, His transformation begins, the first evidence of it is a sound or movement. And then there comes order out of chaos. Sometimes at the very beginning, there's not the answer that you're looking for. At the very beginning of your praying, it doesn't seem to get any better. But if you have ears to hear God, there can be in the spirit a sense of a rattling, a sense of something changing in the atmosphere. Before there was an army, before there was an answer to prayer, the first thing that the man of God heard was a sound. We need to tune in to the right radio channel, frequency. We need to be able to hear, what is God saying? And when we're tuned in, often we'll begin to hear something. Sometimes it starts in our spirit. We begin to hear something is going to be different than what it is currently. That our current circumstances is not going to dictate what our future is going to be. So, after obeying God, we expect to change, and we listen for change and look for change. We begin to say, "I hear something. Because I hear something, something is going to change." And then we begin to expect it. We begin to say it. We begin to share it. We begin to speak it. There's something about acting upon what we feel God is showing us in our spirit that begins to put things in place. Sometimes we get stuck right there. It's like, okay, I'm believing God to do something, but then we don't do anything differently. We continue to do the same things we've done before, but often God is challenging us to step out of our comfort zone. I know you've heard that somewhere before. And step out of our comfort zone into the new. It's okay. And God is taking us to this new place. Oftentimes when this begins, it looks differently than what we expected. And there again, that's a challenge right there. We often get in our mind, well, when God answers our prayer in a particular area, it's going to come this way, or it's going to happen that way. And when we don't see those things happening, we can become discouraged. And we begin wondering, well, is God even answering our prayer? Oftentimes, His answer comes in a different way, in a different pace than what we would dictate. But that's where we have to trust God and just obey what He says. Sometimes all He shows us what to do is the next step. Well, what about the third and the fourth step, God? He just shows you the next step. Yeah, but we need to get this, and we need to see this breakthrough. We need to see this change. All He shows us is the next step. It might be just talking to that neighbor next to us or praying for somebody. What does that have to do with me getting this answer over here? God just says, just trust and obey. Used to be a hymn we used to sing years ago. Trust and obey. We love those hymns, don't we, Pastor Ken? Trust and obey. There's no other way. Sometimes we just have to say to God, Lord, what is it that you're trying to show us? So this first step is we're tuning our ears, our spiritual ears, to a sound. And so we're saying to God, Lord, let me hear your sound. Let me hear you say that. Let me hear your sound. Again, let me hear your sound. God is speaking. He's speaking to each one of us. There's a scripture back in one of the Chronicles in the Old Testament. It says, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his, that he can show himself strong on their behalf. God is looking right now, right here, or right on the internet. He's looking where you are. And he's just looking for those whose heart are towards him. And as soon as you've made that commitment, then he's going to show himself strong on your behalf. So we're saying, Lord, here I am. I'm here. I'm listening. I'm inclining my ear to you. I want to hear this sound. You got that? Okay. So now next is a place. Next is a place. Now a place is a place of assignment or a place of encounter. The place that God has us is very strategic to his plan. And Acts, the second chapter, in the first, let's go first 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4, it says this. And last time we didn't read it together. Let's actually read this together. Let's try that. Can we do that? Okay. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. There's that sound. As of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. So when God showed up, as they were there in one accord, power was given to them. When God calls us to a place to fulfill his mission, he's going to give us power to do his work. So part of awakening ourselves to his design is realizing that wherever you are, wherever I am, it's not a mistake. That right now, God has an assignment for you right where you are. Whether it's here in this church, whether it's in your home, whether it's where you work, with your grandkids, in your community, there is an assignment that only you can fulfill. You're unique, and only you can bring about his message in the way that you can bring it. And so part of it is understanding that, well, God, I'm a piece of the puzzle that's unique to me, so you need to show me what that is. But it's realizing that you're strategically positioned right now. Let that sink in for a minute. You are positioned. You are placed. Some of us, like, we think, man, if Jesus walked the earth, if I could have a day with Jesus, I would take him over here. I would tell him that I would want him to do this. I would want him to touch my son or my daughter, or I would want him to go and fix government, or I would want him to go over here. And we would think of all these places and all these things we would have Jesus do, right? But God has placed us here and then empowered us with his power in order to impact this world. So part of it is understanding that you are here, you are strategically placed with a purpose. When you are in the right place at the right time with God's power, miraculous things happen. When you're at the right place at the right time with God's power, miraculous things happen. Amen? Do you believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. I believe we are living in a season where miracles are happening. We're living in a season where, in the midst of a world that is depressed and all these things going on, that God is going to be calling some of us to bring a miracle right into the circumstances where we are. But we have to begin to see it. We have to begin to believe it, begin to act upon it, to step out of the boat and allow God to use us. I want to see miracles happen. I dream about it. I ache for it. I look for it. I drive through Prospect Park. I want to see the kingdom of God released there. I'm standing in the line in Giant Eagle, as we say. I want to see God's power released in the line in Giant Eagle. I want to see God's power released while we're ordering strawberry pie at Eden Park. We want to see God's power wherever we are. Pastor Ken and I would get together, and the last time we were together, oftentimes we were together and we're having fellowship, vegetables and things like that, salad. But oftentimes there's opportunities with the waitress just to say, hey, we're about to pray for our food. Is there something we could pray for you for? Sometimes they say, oh, no, I'm good. But many times they'll say, oh, yeah, and next thing you know, here it comes. They begin sharing things that is going on in their life. We have to realize that every place where we are, there's an opportunity for a miracle to happen. If you could just get that one thing and just begin to transform your thinking, that you are a miracle, that you can be the conduit for a miracle to your world. Just because you showed up, things can change. Just because you're in the room, things are different because you carry Almighty God with you. Wow, God is doing this work. So I say to God, oh God, reveal to us your plan in our place and release your power. God, reveal to us your plan and release your power. We want to see his kingdom come and his will be done. And then the last one is that we are a people. So there's a sound that we're listening for from heaven. There's a place we're realizing we are strategically placed. But then the last part is that there is a people. And as part of what they were sharing earlier, we have to realize that God has created each of us for a purpose. In 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, in the 9th verse, it says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's good news. That's a place to shout right there. See, we were on the outside at one point, but now we're on the inside. And now God has said, all of us are now priests. All of us have a calling on our life. Well, but I didn't go to seminary, or I'm not this. I'm not as good as Pastor Kenny. You know, every time when he speaks, he has such good words to say. And I'm not. God has called you as a priest to your world. That means he has given you power to speak into circumstances and to see miracles happen. He has given you power to step out in faith, to believe his word, and to see God answer your prayer. He's giving you that power, and it's time for all of us to step into that. I know as I've been tuning in that part of what Pastor Ken has been sharing about is that what God is doing here is not just for us to be blessed here in these four walls. It's to be out there. And so God is commissioning us to understand and to recognize that calling and to step into it. But we have to realize we have an enemy. And that enemy wants to keep us from stepping into our destiny. He fears us stepping into our destiny. So what does he do? He whispers in our ear. He tries to talk us out of our game. We grew up playing basketball together and back in some of those early days, Pastor Ken. And we used to play basketball, and I still enjoy playing it. But part of the game, part one of the nuances of the game with some people is they begin to trash talk. And what they're trying to do is by trash talking to distract you from your game. And so they try to say things to get under your skin or to irritate you. And when you get irritated, you're going to do something that's not in your best interest, and you might get kicked out of the game or turn the ball over. So there's a whole science to it, and some people were very good at it. I'm not saying any names. But some people were very good at trash talking. And it would get people off their game, and then they would be defeated. The enemy tries to do the same thing. He talks to us. Who do you think you are? You can't do that. If they knew what if they knew the kind of life you came from, if they knew what your past, they wouldn't listen to you. And he tries to keep us down, and we go, oh, okay. Well, I'll leave it for somebody else to do. But what you need to realize is if you didn't matter, the enemy wouldn't mess with you. If it didn't matter that you were, he wouldn't even bother with you. So one day you have to wake up to the fact that the fact that you're even having that battle means you must be significant to this war that we're in. You have a part to play, and you're powerful in your part. But it's about saying to God, Lord, I want to be used by you. So each of us, we are intentionally chosen by God. We are chosen by him. You have been chosen by God. Do you receive that? I have been chosen by him. So if I'm chosen by him, it says you're chosen, you're a royal priesthood, then I'm a priest. That means I have a calling. I represent God to other people. And I've also been given grace. I've been given anointing to carry out this office of a priest. Have you ever been at work and you're there and somebody comes up to you and they're talking to you and they're talking to you? They say, I don't know why I'm talking to you, but you're just so easy to talk to, and they're just telling you all their stuff because you're a priest. The reason you're in those conversations is because God is drawing them to you, and you're to use that opportunity to speak life into them, to say something to them, to recognize this is part of my calling. He has given us individual callings together to express his holy kingdom. For truth, for justice, and for light. He's given each of us a part. So how do we embrace that? It's time to do it. Our testimony is an expression of our identity. When we begin to express to others what God has done for us, we identify with the God who healed us, the God who intervened in our life, the God who made us whole when we were broken. Part of what we need to do is begin to give testimony of what God has done. To just dare to open our mouth and to say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. We don't have to have this whole theological dissertation ready, but we need to be able to say that I was like this and now I'm like that. And just by sharing that, God will use you to open a world to somebody else. At Shiloh a few months ago, I put out a challenge. Put out a similar one today. But I put out a challenge to look for an opportunity this week to pray for someone. And right away, people, couldn't pray for someone. But no, just try it. Just try it. And we even had a text. We even had a something you could say. And it was just that at our church, we've seen God answer prayer. Is there something we can pray for you for? Just that simple. At our church, we've seen God answer prayer. Is there something I could pray for you for? And as we would look for an opportunity, we would just say that. Is that easy to say? In my church, we've seen God answer prayer. Let me hear you say that. Really? You've seen him answer prayer? There's something I can pray for you. Now say that. Is there something I can pray for you? Isn't that easy? Okay, we'll do it with each other. Turn to one person next to you and just let's try it. Just say that. At our church, And if there's something to pray for them, tell them what it is. Tell them. Pray for my mother. Pray for. All right. Stop. Was that easy? Did you do it? Now, it can be a little awkward. It can be a little. But what I'm saying is, by stepping out in faith, believing that God is going to meet you, when you do that, you're going to see miracles happen. So I even challenge you to do that. Take up this challenge. Say, God, I want you to remind me of this so I can do it during the week. And then, if you can, next week have an opportunity for testimony and just share something that God has done, where God has had that happen. Because what begins to happen is, and what we saw in our churches, people began to share things. People began to see God answer prayer. Do we have some examples? Yeah, we have a couple of our, I don't know if it was Kendra or Aaron, one of you. Come on up and share. What we did was we just said, hey, let's try this. And then we began sharing. And then each week we shared. And we realized that each time it was a little different. And so here we go.
Yeah, so we're meeting downtown the second and fourth Saturdays of the month. And time of worship. And then we go to Market Square to look to pray over people. But one thing I do want to say before, at Shiloh, we've started in the last few months an initiative at our church to get more members involved in stuff. So we have a four-phrase saying that every member has a mission, every mission matters, I matter, what matters most is sharing the gospel. Amen? So once you realize that you have a mission, that should change your perspective on what you can do, even in everyday life. So we went down to Market Square, and I couldn't really find anybody that God was placing on my heart. Then I saw a cop car, and it got me to thinking. So ironically, it was you know, Market Square is a square. So the cop car is going around the square, and I'm with Gabby, and we're walking. We're trying to head him off here, okay? So by the time we get to be, like, right there, we're probably 15 yards right there. Dude isn't paying attention. He's just driving. He's not, you know, we're trying to kind of flag him down. So he passed us, and then right there is Chipotle, which I know Chad's salivating right now. And there was a cop car in front of Chipotle. So I was like, hey, you know what? I see him in there. We'll go in there, and we'll pray for him. So we go in. They're getting their meal and everything. So we just ask, you know, hey, you got a minute? Yeah, sure. So I said, we just want to, you know, thank you for your service, and we want to pray for you. And both of them kind of looked at each other like, oh, okay. So I just prayed for safety, both on and off duty. I mean, it's just the little things. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Doesn't have to be, you know, prophetic in a sense. It's just even the act of you praying for protection over someone puts on their heart that somebody cares about them. So we just prayed a simple prayer, and then we actually, ironically, almost done, Pastor. Ironically, I just got the notion to do it again. So there was three guys that were walking out. I mean, they were fully suited. They had all the gear on. And I think they were heading to Noodles and Company. It's all about food. Go figure. But, you know, I just asked if they had a minute. And I said, you know, I just want to pray for you. So three guys. The first dude was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. The other dude was on a walkie-talkie. He's like, we may be getting called. I thought maybe he was trying to get out of it. And then the other dude was probably around my age. He's like, okay, yeah, sure. So even the resistance up front, there was still an opportunity. And I will say, too, even if you ask to pray for somebody, even if you use at my church, we've seen God answer prayer, and they say no, don't get all upset. Don't. It's still an opportunity. I mean, who said that you can't walk away and just still pray for them?
That's right.
Huh? How are they going to know? Not going to know. Only God knows. Seriously, though, I'm honestly the type of person that Chad and Kim both know. Big groups of people, that's not me. I don't like to be around big groups of people. So confronting people and asking them for something that they may just look at my face and go, no. It's not really appealing to me, but I know that's what God has for me, is to do that. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. So it's just about stepping out there, seeing God do awesome things. Amen? So the result of our witness is to bring glory and praise to God. And that First Peter, he says that, he talks about that there would be the expression of his glory, his glorious light. He's bringing us, when he works through us, his glory is released in the earth. Sometimes people physically see it. They're like, there's something different about you. There's something, you know, different. And it's because his glory is on us. When we lay down our wants and desires and pick up God's, there's a glory on you. And glory looks good on you. Glory looks good on you. It's one thing, you know, have you ever seen somebody and they're in love and you could just see it all over them? You know, they have that glow. Or you look at wedding pictures and you just see that glow. There's a glow when you know whose father you have. You're his son. You're his daughter. There should be a glow on you. There should be a peace on you. And so as we are wrapping up here, be willing to do simple acts of obedience to display the love of God. Be willing to do simple acts. God will just show you. He'll just prompt you to do something. And just do it. Just step out and do it. And you'll see God's glory revealed. It'll change the way you look. I believe that we are on the verge of a mighty move and outpouring of God in our city. Amen. We have been seeing it. There's been a stirring happening. I work at Light of Life, and I'm down there, and I'm running into people all the time that God is stirring them, stirring people to get out of their comfort zone and get out there and pray and to share the love of Christ. I ran into my brother Tom this past week, right? Amen. He's getting ready to go serve across the street from our business there. God is looking for us, and there's going to be a mighty outpouring of his Spirit, and I don't want him to pass us by. I don't want him to pass me by. I want to be a part of it. Henry Blackaby said, Lord, show me what you're doing and let me be a part of it. I just want to be a part of what you're doing in the earth. There is something going on in our city. And I'm telling you, if you step into it, if you're willing, God is going to do a great thing. You know, this is summer. And I did hear you say that in one of your things recently. You know, it's summertime, and when there's summertime, some are here and some are not. And sometimes people are doing different things. They drift and all those things. But we declared at Shiloh, we said, you know what? Normally it would be like this time of year of, yeah, well, we're just going to kind of make it through the summer and then we'll get. We said, no, this is going to be a time of increase. We are going to increase the temperature of prayer in our life. We're turning up the thermostat of prayer, and then we're going to continue to do these acts of obedience. And what's been happening is people are coming, and new people are coming. And we left her before we came here, and there are visitors that are coming out when normally you say, oh, let's wait till the fall. But God is stirring because he is doing a new thing. So as I close, that beginning message, the beginning passage was Ezekiel. I want to ask you the same question. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? I want you to really hear that, and it's God the Father asking you, what are those dry bones in your life? What are those dreams that you would say, it's a dream, but it's dry right now. Nothing has happened with it for years and years and years. What are those areas in your life where you know God has spoken to you, but it's remained unchanged, and you begin to weary of even praying anymore for it? You're tempted to give up. What are those dry bones? Those relationships, those family members where there's been an estrangement or whatever it is, that situation at work that just seems to continue to be this negative, stressful drain. What is it that is the dry bones in your life? I want you to think of something right now. Holy Spirit, just show us. What is the What is the dry bones in our life right now, that thing that holds us back? Even now, Lord, show each of us something. Something that is that area that you want to show yourself strong in. So get it on your mind. Get that person, get that situation. It's a doctor's report. It's a financial situation. Whatever it is, just get it on your mind, that dry bone. And then when you have it in your mind, you're hearing God say from heaven, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And what Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. The fact is, what God says lives will live. Our God is a God that brings streams in a desert. Our God is a God that makes a way where there seems to be no way. In fact, he specializes in dry bones. He specializes in situations where there's no natural explanation other than God has moved. God wants us to begin looking at those dry bones. You got it in your mind? And then what did he tell Ezekiel to do? He said, now prophesy to them. Begin to speak a change into that circumstance, into that situation. Begin to see a breakthrough at work where it seems like it's a ceiling and it's the same thing. You're not going to begin to say, this is a place where I'm going to flourish. This is a place where I'm going to break through. This is a place where your glory is going to come. Many of you don't know my story, but many years ago I went through a very difficult situation and divorce, and it was a very painful part of my life. I was alone, and some of you here, you know who you are. Some of you walked with me through that, cried with me through that. It was a very difficult and challenging time. And I remember in the midst of all of that, God began to challenge me to seek him more than the circumstances that I wanted to see change my way. And I began to do that. And then my perspective began to change. And then next he had me do a strange thing, Tom. You wouldn't think it's strange because you know I'm a little strange. But he began to tell me to get up. I was in a townhouse at the time, this big old townhouse. When you're in a big place and you're alone, it just seems like it's even bigger. And God began to tell me, get up and prophesy to this townhouse. That sounds crazy, right? It's crazy. It is crazy. But I got up and I began walking. I was like in my living room. And I was looking, because before I would look at the couch and look at all the things. All I would remember is the lack. There's nobody there. And I began saying, this will be a place of laughter. There's going to be friends around this couch. There's going to be people here. There's going to be fellowship here. There's going to be healing taking place. The more I said it, it started to stir up in me. And then I got really excited. I went to the kitchen. And I went into the kitchen and I opened up the kitchen. There wasn't a lot in my refrigerator, but I began prophesying some things into that refrigerator. This is going to be a place of some desserts. Hallelujah. There is going to be some roasts in there, and the cupboards are going to be full. And God began, I don't know what my neighbors thought, but after a while, it started just taking over me. I started seeing my circumstances change. Now, in the natural, nothing had changed. Everything was the same. But something changed on the inside of me. I began looking at things differently. And then, you know what happened? It began to change. Those things that I prophesied slowly began to happen. Had some people call up. They said, you know what? We want to begin in a Bible study. Would you lead us in a Bible study? And I was like, me? Do you know what I'm in the middle of and all of that? I'm just, no, we want to come over. We started having Bible studies and fellowships, and people started coming over, and God began moving. God wants us to believe again. God wants us to dream again, to love again, and to believe that these dry bones are going to live. Amen? Hallelujah. So as we close, I want you to get those dry bones on your mind and present it before the Lord. Just make a personal altar where you are. And whatever that circumstance is, it could be something, a specific circumstance that you need God to move in. It could be just your availability for him. But whatever it is, just get it on your mind and say to the Lord, Father, I believe these bones can live. If you speak life, then they will live. Ask God to give you his mind. Ask God to give you his perspective on the circumstance. And begin to agree with him, with what he wants to see take place, not what the circumstances are showing me. Take a moment and just do business with God in this moment. So, Father, we thank you that you are calling us to a season of the miraculous. I thank you, Lord, that you are wanting to see your kingdom and your glory released in our homes, in our businesses, in our communities, in our schools, in the grocery store. Lord, you are at work, and you have placed us strategically in our world so that we can see your kingdom come. Lord, I ask that you would grant each of us the gift of revelation and understanding of what our role is. Lord, would you fill our mouth with your words? Let us begin to see places that are barren full. Let us begin to see those relationships that have been broken restored. Let us begin to see those hearts that have been broken healed and mended in the name of Jesus. Father, we speak forth your life, life to come. We speak forth light into darkness, and we thank you that your kingdom will overcome the world. In the precious, mighty, awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We like closing with a declaration where we all say together, and this is the declaration. Let's read this together. Now, you got to read it with gusto. You got to read it with some conviction, okay? All right? Father, we are your people called by your name. May our lives express the reality that we are no longer enslaved to the lesser patterns of this world, but we are citizens of heaven. We are a unique people called out of darkness into your marvelous light. And somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, well, thank you.
Slightly more expressive than me. Stand up. What a wonderful word. I don't want to say anything. I just want to let it sink in. No use talking. Let me give you this blessing. The Lord bless all of you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and grant you his peace. May that God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.